I'm Lee Furseth of the Headwaters Science Center, and this is the Women of Science Podcast.
It is time for Women of Science. We have a woman scientist who actually works for the United Way now. Annie Butler-Ricks is in to take us into the show today. And Annie, who's our scientist of the week, month, year?
Yes.
However often we do this.
Well, today we have Melinda Neville with us, and I'm really excited to have Melinda here. We have known each other for a number of years, and we'll get into that later. But Melinda works at Leech Lake Tribal College, and she has been there since 2016, and she was at BSU for 2 years prior to that. Melinda is passionate about science, about geochemistry, and I'm just excited that we're going to learn a little bit more about what that is and what happens at Leech Lake Tribal College in the Indigenous Science Department.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Melinda.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's just turn it over to you and tell us your journey in the world of science, how you came to be a science nerd.
Oh, boy, that's a big question, but I'll try. Well, growing up, I loved art and music and writing, and it wasn't until middle school science fair that I really caught the bug for science. It was such a wonderful vehicle to really display the breadth and depth of science that's available, even for young people. And by some fluke or accident, I won my local competition and went to regionals. And so that next year, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And so I ended up going to state competing in science fair with the Minnesota Junior Academy of Science. And the people I met there, the encouragement I received from judges, the scholarship opportunities, the travel opportunities, just really let, wow, this is viable. This is exciting.
Is this a paid advertisement by the local middle school for their science fair?
No, but it should be.
It should be. This is wonderful.
Yeah,
I love hearing this.
I'll take a commission.
I love hearing this because so many people have negative experiences from science fairs. So I love that you had a positive one.
I had a great one. And it wasn't something I was striving for that first year when I had a little bit of success. But it just really blossomed the idea that I could do science. And that could do meaningful science. And so when I started college, I double majored in biology and psychology. And then I dropped out.
Oh, I did not know this.
I am a college dropout. So for those of you who have taken a break, hey, it's still possible when the time is right. And so when the time was right, it was actually an accident how I became a geochemist. I had been 5 years out of college. I was in the transfer program to get back into college, and I needed a course that fulfilled one of the requirements, and I signed up for something that I wasn't allowed to take. And we didn't figure that out until week three, and so all of a sudden I had a gap in my schedule, and I needed a class, and I ended up in environmental science.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an accident. Thankfully, I had a brilliant instructor who helped me catch up for those first 3 weeks, and I just got the bug, learning about water quality and air quality and our soil health as a nation, and I just took that and ran. And so when I went off to graduate school, I focused on water quality issues and ended up becoming a geochemist.
Okay, what is geochemistry? And I ask because I am a chemist. I've shared this before, but chemistry is so broad, right? Everyone thinks, oh, if you're a chemist, you know all areas of chemistry. That is not true. I like my very small field of chemistry, and I'm guessing you're the same way. You have your field or maybe a couple little fields that you really like.
Well, I do fields. I do lakes.
Oh, you do actual fields. I don't.
No, so geochemistry really is how air, water, and soil behave in an environment when other things are happening, like climate or acid rain or mercury pollution, right? We see how those things cycle through ecological systems and then find ways to solve some of our problems.
I love that.
Yeah. So geochemistry is really geology and chemistry mushed together. And so I can talk to you about rocks and I can talk to you about mass spectrometers.
Okay. How are you doing, Kev, on both of those or either of them?
I understand rocks fairly well. The other one, I'm not real, I don't know what you're talking about.
No problem.
What are you talking about?
Sure. So mass spectrometry is one way that we can measure how much of something is in something. And there's many different types of spectrometry. You can use like a gas chromatographer where you might be able to suss some things out in gas. For acid rain, we might use mass spectroscopy to see what else is being mobilized in a soil when you start washing acid through it. So it's a way of measurement that is really powerful for most of our environmental systems. Now, Annie might have a different use for mass spectrometry.
I absolutely love that explanation, and this is getting into my area, so that's really fun. This is when we would, you know, in the lab, we might go make a compound and then analyze it to make sure we made it. So it's going to be used differently, but the same instrument can be used in many different ways.
Yeah.
For many different reasons.
Yeah, you're measuring things you've made, and I'm measuring things that we did to the environment.
Right, right. Well, you're at Leech Lake Tribal College. Can you tell us about how you came to be there, a little bit about that story, why you love it? Because I do know that you do love being there.
Oh, I do love it. It was such a wonderful opportunity. So I was adjuncting at BSU while working another full-time job and just really love teaching, really love being in the classroom and, you know, raising the next generation of scientists. And so when Leech Lake Tribal College opened up a new position in environmental science with a good component of environmental monitoring and teaching and grant management and student engagement, it was like they'd read my resume and said, hey, here's a job for you. And so I was so excited. I thankfully got the job and began my now 8 year career there, teaching hydrology, geology, meteorology, environmental science, environmental chemistry, and really getting involved a lot with empowering students to get into areas of research that they are curious or passionate about.
So what are some of those areas of research? I'm assuming you do research with students or you have other faculty members that do research with students?
Yeah, we've really grown a pretty robust research program at the college over the last few years. One of the first projects that I was involved with students, they were looking at the invasive earthworms and what they were doing to the understory in our forests. And that was fascinating. And the following year, we looked at frog and toad abundance. Omakaki is the Ojibwe word for frogs. And we went out and were doing frog surveys compared to how developed an area was. Like we had a pristine back logging road wetland that had a lot more species and a lot more abundance of those species than the one that was closer to the Superfund site and the highway. And so students were out there learning frog calls, learning frog identification, looking at geospatial mapping, and developing an index of how much human activity or disturbance there were. But the longest running one of the longer running programs we have is actually looking at microplastics. I had a student who ended up in my research class, didn't know what she wanted to study, and she had to create a project. Well, she settled on microplastics because her cosmetics had changed to eliminate microplastics in 2012. So
what are microplastics?
Oh, it's what happens to plastics in the environment. They break down and they break down, but they never really disappear. And so think of that plastic bag that slipped away from you and it gets torn up by wind, it gets torn up by rain and freeze thaw, might end up in the water and it breaks down more, but there's still particles available. So microplastic is a piece of plastics that's, I think, less than 5 millimeters, which is still pretty big, but they get down into the nanometers and we can still measure them. But for these projects, we've looked at the existence of microplastics in our water systems. And so in year one, we grabbed sediment samples from five lakes and saw how much plastic was actually buried in the sediment. Then the following year, we looked at surface water with another student, where we were trolling around with this big net behind a boat and GPS tracking it so we know exactly how much surface water we covered with this net, and then analyzed the net contents under microscopes.
Oh, wow. I can think of just so many kids growing up that would think that that sounds like so much fun, right? Mm-hmm. You're out on a boat, on a lake, enjoying northern Minnesota. Depends if you're in the middle of the summer or on the east. I guess during the school year might be a little colder. But it's just showing that there are things that you can do. There's research that's not just in a lab, more mm-hmm. like what I did, but where you're getting out in the field and you're seeing what's in our environment.
Absolutely. Now, these projects still took lab work.
Oh, I can imagine.
But I really love the sciences where you can get out and see and study in situ where you're at. You can ask questions about your own environment. Mm-hmm. And that gets to one of our other long-term projects, which is returning fire to a fire-dependent landscape, specifically for blueberries. And this one has been going on for 7 years up at Sunken Lake Experimental Forest area within the Chippewa National Forest, which of course is also within the bounds of the reservation. And we have had the opportunity to put out hobos. These are a brand name for a data logger that sits out in the forest with a little solar panel and collects data 24/7, 365. Mm. And we have to hike out and grab that data, then bring it back and analyze that data. And so we know things about soil moisture and soil temperature throughout the season, how much sunlight is getting in to the ground story, which is important for a lot of those valuable plants that stay on the forest floor and have a really difficult time with fire suppression resulting in so much hazel brush overgrowing mm-hmm. our forests. And so we've now had 3 prescribed burns up there, and we're still measuring and counting and seeing which plants are coming back in greater abundance.
Oh, neat.
Okay, so I kind of get what you're saying with hazel brush, maybe choking out like blueberries, I think is what you mentioned.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that forest fires are kind of needed, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we see happening right now on these massive destructive fires, particularly in Canada and the United States, is a lack of fire. Smokey the Bear ended up, being the mascot for 100 years of fire suppression. Now, in some instances, that makes a lot of sense. And even today, we need to protect our infrastructure that is built next to areas that are fire dependent. And so there's always this balance between, property and ecological health. And so as scientists, part of our job is to actually look at that, all things considered, and figure out, okay, can we do a controlled burn here? Who's going to be affected? What conditions do we need to watch for so it doesn't get away from us? And so there's always a lot of groundwork that has to go in advance of these. So if you see crews brushing in the forest, that is when they go in and they start taking down some of that understory so they can bring fire in and not have it go too wild.
Okay.
So there's lots of different steps in fire science. As a geochemist, I'm a little bit more interested in the soil dynamics, but the students that are involved with these projects look at traditional medicinal plants and their abundance as they come back. We look at how much fuel is on the forest floor and then how much fuel was consumed by a fire. And so there's all different steps to the process of bringing fire back, and our students get the frontline view of what that might actually mean for the health of our local ecosystems.
So limited knowledge I have of various cultures, I do know that Earth is truly important to Native people. Do they, approach is the right word, or do they look at things differently, even in the science field, than other cultures?
Absolutely. We tend to talk about higher education in the sense of westernized education. within the tribal college and within the community is more about reciprocity with the landscape. So the projects that students choose and that we're involved with tend to be about our relationship with the landscape. How can we improve it? How can we protect our relatives within the forest? And I think one of the clearest ways I've heard it said, I think the first one I heard it say, I don't know if I can attribute it to him, but Daniel Wildcat, he's at one of the, at Haskell Nations University, he said, these are our relatives, not resources. You're talking about natural resources, but we are one and the same within this environment, and thus we have to protect all of it.
So you mentioned a little bit about the students' interests in when it comes to the fires, whether it's medicinal plants or otherwise. How much do the students get to a sort of direct research in at Leech Lake Tribal College?
Our students graduate with more research experience than many grad students graduate with. Direct research, we had 14 full-time interns this summer, over 7,000 hours of actual research in the field, where we're looking at everything from invasive species management to fire effects on the landscape, microplastics, reserve treaty land rights, and some of the work that the band has been doing. And so they're working with technicians and scientists in the field and get to analyze their data as well. So if you're talking about direct experience, 12 weeks, 40 hours a week during the summer.
I love that. I got chills when you talked about that. It's so important for everyone to have that opportunity, if they want it, to get in the field, to do research, to see what it's like. And I think that's when it really, when science really grabs you.
I agree.
You can, classroom, as you had a class that was great and grabbed you, but that isn't always what interests everyone. It's really once you get into the lab, into the research, I think that it gets really fun.
Well, I would say that was true for me too with Science Fair.
Yeah.
That was the first spark, right? Mm-hmm. And I just got lucky in the field that I decided to specialize in when I had a really excellent instructor. Mm-hmm. If he had been teaching, you know, basic chemistry, maybe I would have become a regular chemist.
Is that what I am, a regular chemist? Don't answer that question.
I almost said real chemist.
Oh.
Well, that was a good catch. No.
So I'm assuming that there are certain classes students can take for general eds and things like that. What degree programs do you have at Leech Lake Tribal College?
Ooh, we have 7 degree programs.
Wow.
But I might talk about the science ones a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, we recently revisited. We went through a program review process that showed that our science degrees weren't really meeting students' needs. And so we rolled out our new Indigenous Science Department. And what this means is students come in and they get, you know, think of your general sciences. You have to take a biology, you have to take some type of physical science, often geology, probably an environmental science course, and maybe a computer course. And so within our first year, our science students pretty much have the same experience and get to meet most of the science faculty and their areas of expertise. And as such, in year two, they can specialize. And within science, we have 4 different tracks that students can look at. One is information technology. So if you're really into the computers and computer programming or networks or, you know, web design, there you go. We can get you a good start there. Second is human health. So if you're interested in behavioral science or thinking about going into nursing or psychiatry or psychology, that's a great path. Also, did I say social work?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Then number 3 is forest ecology. And so that's a lot of our students right now who have been working all summer pretty much in the forest are coming back and looking at, there's more to the forest than just forestry. There's more to be gained from our surroundings than lumber. And so we really focus on the ecosystem side of what does a healthy forest ecosystem look like, and can that exist while harvesting lumber? And the answer is yes, but we have to do things differently. Then finally, we have a little bit more of a general area, which we just call indigenous science. Like, if you're not quite sure, or if you really want to focus on water, we've got generals and electives that can help you go in that direction. And so there, that program allows a little bit more flexibility in what the electives are.
Okay.
Lots of options.
Yeah.
Lots of great options.
I mean, that small little campus hidden away, cranking out stuff like that, that's pretty amazing.
We have a great time. Now, I can give a plug to our Indigenous leadership. We have a trades program. We have a business degree program, which is very popular. Early childhood education. And I'm going to forget somebody, and they're going to be mad at me. Law enforcement.
All the time. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep,
yeah.
Law enforcement, yep.
Okay.
And, yeah, our enrollment's been growing for 3 semesters straight. We are just really a vibrant place to be right now, and I just love the work that I'm able to do while I'm there.
That's great. Well, I know you said that you have been sort of more involved in writing grants, and maybe your job description's changed a little bit. Can you just share about that? Because I know you've had a really big success or win recently for Leech Lake Tribal College, and I'd love for you to share about that.
Sure. Well, as part of that original job as Indigenous Science faculty, I was managing grants, and I wrote a couple of other small grants to go with it. And last year, I took a new position as a director of the Office of Sponsored Programs at the college, which didn't exist, so I'm also still building it. But it allows me to focus on some of my talents outside of the classroom in, you know, bringing money to the college to do really cool stuff. And the one you're talking about is our collaboration with Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College in a USDA opportunity called Next Generation. Now, our particular project, which was a successful grant that we're implementing now, is called DEET, like the bug killer. But it actually stands for Developing Enhanced Education and Training Within Natural Resources, Human Health, and a few other areas. And so it just fit really well into what we were already doing. And as such, has brought in $9 million to our two campuses.
Got chills again.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It allows us to support students that are at our college. It allows us to support our recent graduates who are still studying science. For the first time ever, we're going to have a graduate school summer research stipend. So we can bring Native grad students back in to help mentor our students, and perhaps we can provide some intern help for their work in the area. It funds faculty for teaching and learning. So there's even some course credit for our faculty to go on and, you know, maybe re-up their GIS certificate or really study sustainability and food systems, you know, just to do a little bit more professional development. We've started a new research and demonstration garden. We spent the summer getting it built, and we'll be able to plant next year. So a lot of different parts looking at food systems and natural resources, a little bit of, you know, looking at food sovereignty for the area. What does it mean to have access to healthy, nutritious food or grow your own food? And can we help be part of that?
I'm going to ask a question my boss always asks me when we're talking about different topics. In your perfect dream world, what does the science program at Leech Lake Tribal College look like in 5 years?
I'd love to see growth. If we had, I don't know, 50 students instead of 30, within our degree program, I want to see this continuation of a mentoring system that we have in place where our incoming students are working with our recent graduates who are working with students that have matriculated to another college and hire back these students to come back and work within the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe government or resource management or even at the college. Can I tell you a little story?
Sure.
I had one of my greatest successes personal successes when we were able to hire back one of my first research students who was finishing their master's degree at BSU and hire them back as Indigenous Science faculty. And in fact, since I'm taking on a larger role in grant management, he's now teaching some of the classes that I used to teach. And so having our students come back and reinvest in the college is so important, and we really want to encourage that.
That's wonderful. Well, we need to wrap up, but I just want
I just wanted to throw this out at you. What I think is one of the coolest things in the 21st century right now is when I throw out the term science nerd, I'm not even thinking of it as an insult like I would have in 1981 when I was in high school. I mean, the term nerd has come to mean somebody who is passionate about something and an expert at it, and people take it as a badge of honor. So I hope that's how you took it when I said it, because that's what I meant.
You're such a geek.
I am. I am. I don't know if the world needs radio geeks, but they definitely need science geeks.
Oh, we do. We need both.
We need it all.
No, and follow your passions. Dig in deep. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an advantage to getting a wide breadth of experience. But when something tickles you, go after it.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that. Well, Melinda and I met when she was on the board of directors at the Headwater Science Center. And as this is part of a Headwater Science Center, Women United, United Way, Paul Bunyan Broadcasting collaboration, I just want to ask, you know, what is either your favorite exhibit at the Science Center or your favorite event at the Science Center?
Oh, boy. It's hard to choose just one exhibit, but I remember when we got the kinetic sand. That was just so fun to play with. But I think one of the exhibits I've spent the most time near is probably the saltwater tank.
Okay.
You know, how can you not just marvel at the biodiversity in there? And, of course, they're colorful and weird looking and just it's relaxing to watch.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was really fun to learn more about what you do on a daily basis, learn about what the students are doing at Leech Lake Tribal College. I'm excited to hear more and learn a little bit more about that large grant and the monies that are going to help support research and students and faculty there. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. This was a fun conversation. Miigwech.
With Annie Butler-Ricks, I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for joining us on the Women of Science podcast.